Now, in those days, the counsel that Ahithophel gave was as if one consulted the word of God, so was all the counsel of Ahithophel esteemed, both by David and by Absalom. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and discouraged, and throw him into a panic, and all the people who are with him will flee. I will strike down only the king, and I will bring all the people back to you as a bride comes home to her husband. You seek the life of only one man, and all the people will be at peace." And the advice seemed right in the eyes of Absalom and all the elders of Israel. Then Absalom said, "Call Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what he has to say." And then when Hushai came in to Absalom, Absalom said to him, "Thus has Ahithophel spoken. Shall we do as he says? If not, you speak." Then Hushai said to Absalom, "This time the counsel that Ahithophel has given is not good." Hushai said, "You know that your father and his men are mighty men, and that they are enraged like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. Besides, your father is experienced in war. He will not spend the night with the people. Behold, even now he has hidden himself in one of the pits or in some other place. And as soon as some of the people fall at the first attack, whoever hears it will say, 'There has been a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom.' Then even the valiant man, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will utterly melt with fear, for all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man and that those who are with him are valiant men. But my counsel is that all Israel be gathered to you from Dan to Beersheba, as the sand by the sea for multitude, and that you go to battle in person. So we shall come upon him in some place where he is to be found, and we shall light upon him as the dew falls on the ground, and on him and on all the men who are with him, not one will be left. If he withdraws into a city, then all Israel will bring ropes to that city, and we shall drag it into the valley until not even a pebble is to be found there." And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had ordained to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel so that the Lord might bring harm upon Absalom." Then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, "Thus and so did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so have I counseled. Now therefore, send quickly and tell David, 'Do not stay tonight at the fords of the wilderness, but by all means pass over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up.' Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz were waiting at En-Rogel. A female servant was to go and tell them, and they were to go and tell King David, for they were not to be seen entering the city. But a young man saw them and told Absalom. So both of them went away quickly and came to the house of a man at Bahurim who had a well in his courtyard, and they went down into it. And the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and scattered grain on it, and nothing was known of it. When Absalom's servants came to the woman's house, they said, 'Where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan?' And the woman said to them, 'They have gone over the brook of water.' And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. After they had gone, the man came up out of the well and went and told King David. They said to David, 'Arise and go quickly over the water, for thus and so has Ahithophel counseled against you.' Then David arose and all the people who were with him, and they crossed the Jordan. By daybreak, not one was left who had not crossed the Jordan. When Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his donkey and went off home to his own city. He set his house in order and he hanged himself. And he died and was buried in the tomb of his father. Then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed the Jordan with all the men of Israel. Now Absalom had set Amasa over the army instead of Joab. Amasa was the son of a man named Ithra the Ishmaelite, and had married Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zeruiah, Joab's mother. And Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead. When David came to Mahanaim, Shobi the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the Ammonites, and Machir the son of Ammiel from Lo-Debar, and Barzillai the Gileadite from Rogalim brought beds, basins, and earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans and lentils, honey and curds and sheep and cheese for the herd, for David and the people with him to eat. For they said, 'The people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness.'" So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we just declared that the gospel of Jesus Christ is power unto salvation. Lord, would you please help us to hear that gospel message of our Savior Jesus Christ, even from this Old Testament story from 2 Samuel chapter 17. Lord, your word is living and active. Please make it alive and active among us today by your Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. At the end of chapter 16, it says, "Now in those days the counsel of Ahithophel gave was as if one consulted the word of God, so was all the counsel of Ahithophel esteemed, both by David and by Absalom." And in this passage we have yet one instance of that good counsel of Ahithophel, as Absalom sought to seek and destroy David his father and establish the kingdom for himself. But in this instance, that counsel of Ahithophel was not esteemed well. It was considered good, but not good enough. There was other counsel that was better, for the Lord had ordained to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel so that he might bring harm upon Absalom. Or put another way, the Lord had ordained to defeat the wisdom of the wise in order to work his good intentions with the son of David. Now this passage is in between the beginning and the end of this conflict between Absalom and David. Absalom had already entered into Jerusalem and the conspiracy had begun. And what is to come is the actual battle between Absalom's forces and David's forces. But this is the planning period in between, the planning for this battle. And so we can divide this passage easily into three sections. First, there is the preparing the battle plans. Then there is the second section of revealing those battle plans. And finally, Absalom will begin initiating those battle plans. We'll take each of those sections in order. And then see what we can do to hear the gospel of grace in the midst of this passage. But first, Absalom began by preparing the battle plans. Absalom and Ahithophel had already entered into the city, and Absalom was already asking Ahithophel, David's former counselor, for counsel as far as what he should do next. And Ahithophel had counseled him, well, go ahead and make a claim for the throne and do this. Go into your father's concubine. Which they did. They set tents up on the roof as a public proclamation that Absalom was making a claim to the throne. And once that was complete, Ahithophel continued with his counsel for how Absalom could, in fact, defeat David. And his counsel could easily be summarized by saying this: form a formidable force and make a quick night raid and assassinate the king. He said, "Let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and discouraged and throw him into a panic, and the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike down the king, and I will bring all the people back to you as a bride comes home to her husband. You seek the life of only one man, and all the people will be at peace." Ahithophel knew that David and his men were weary and discouraged. They had been cast out of Jerusalem. It was a wearying and discouraging journey to where they were. It was the right time militarily and practically to attack, to defeat David and his men. And what he called for was a surgical strike. He said, "I will strike down only the king, and I will bring everybody else back. Yet you seek the life of only one man, and all the people will be at peace." No need for needless loss of life. Let's just kill the king and restore the kingdom to yourself, and it will be a kingdom of peace. It was a good plan. It was the right plan. It was the proper plan practically and militarily to accomplish the mission with minimal loss of life and restoration for the kingdom. And Absalom saw it, and so did the elders of Israel. But in God's providence, Absalom had two counselors. at this particular time. The Lord had allowed Hushai the Archite, David's friend, to enter into Absalom's inner circle, and Hushai had made his intentions appear as though he was on Absalom's side at the end of chapter 16. And while Ahithophel's counsel was esteemed as though it was as good as the counsel of the Word of God, Absalom thought it wouldn't hurt to have a confirming second opinion. And so he brought in Hushai the Archite, and he told him Ahithophel's plan. Now, no doubt, Absalom believed that Hushai esteemed the counsel of Ahithophel just as much as David and Absalom and all the people did. And no doubt he believed that Hushai would see the wisdom and the value of this particular plan, but little did Absalom know that Hushai was there for the particular purpose of defeating the counsel of Ahithophel. So Absalom told Hushai the plan, and Hushai responded with a very delicate, shrewd response. He said, the order of the Hebrew is such, he said, the counsel of Ahithophel is not good this time. The sting of the counsel is not good must have shocked them all, but then he took the edge off with this time. We know that Ahithophel's counsel is very good. It's just not this time. Not this time. And he said, let me explain. And he appealed to Absalom by appealing to his worst fears. He said, your father... Ahithophel's advised this, but you know that your father is a mighty warrior. Absalom was the pretty boy prince. We have no knowledge that Absalom ever saw one bit of conflict, but it was well known that David was the warrior king. No doubt Absalom knew that his father had been the one that killed the Philistine giant Goliath. And Hushai said, you know, your father's a warrior. He said, Ahithophel's saying, bring 12,000 men. Do you know that your father was the one that the women used to sing, David has slayed his 10,000s? Do you think 12,000 will be enough? And your father, he's crafty. He's shrewd. He knows what he's doing. He's not going to just sleep out in the open field with his men. Do you remember what he did when he was fleeing from Saul? He hid in caves and in pits. Do you remember that story of when he was hidden in the cave and he could have killed Saul, but he chose not to? What do you think he's going to do now? He's on the run. He's going to hide in a cave. Your men come, he's going to jump out, he's going to surprise, and it's going to be bad. Because yes, he's weary, but here's a king who is enraged. The kingdom has been taken from him. What is this warrior going to do? He's going to attack, he's going to fight, and when he kills your men, they're going to flee. They're going to run away. No, that's not the right plan for right now. And then he offered his own plan. He said, here's what I would counsel. Here's my counsel. And he appealed to Absalom's vanity. He said, 12,000 isn't enough. You need all Israel. Gather all Israel to go and fight against the king. You need a force big enough for this particular enemy. Secondly, he said, you lead them out to battle. Did you catch that? With Ahithophel's plan, Ahithophel was the one going into battle. He said, let me choose 12,000 men. I will come upon David. I will arise and pursue him. I will strike down only the king. I will bring them back. Why would Ahithophel put himself in the center of that story? Well, it could have been because he was trying to protect the king. his king, Absalom, from having to go into battle. It could have been because he trusted himself militarily to lead these forces. It could have been because there was no military commander and he felt like he was going to position himself, try out, interview for the job, and he wanted to do it. Or perhaps he wanted to make a claim for the throne himself. He had already shown himself to be the brains behind the conspiracy. If he were to go and lead the forces to defeat King David, he could make a claim for the throne and take it from Absalom. And it's as if Hushai was saying, do you really want to take that risk? Do you really trust Ahithophel? You lead them into battle. Third, he said, if you do this, you will prove that you are the true warrior. With Ahithophel's plan, David might jump out and surprise, but if you bring all Israel, you will bring the surprise to him. You will come upon him like the dew comes upon the ground, and he won't know what to think, and everyone will know that you were the one that defeated the king. Fourth, he said, well, you need to make sure that you really squash this rebellion. Ahithophel said, well, Absalom, you really are only concerned about killing the king. You can bring everybody else back and have peace. And Hushai said, is that really true? David has loyal followers. David, what's going to happen when you kill David? They might rise up in rebellion against you. You need to squash that. You need to kill everyone involved. Bring the fight to them and conquer them. And finally, he said, with this plan, you will demonstrate to everyone your massive power. He said, you come after David, and if David and his men flee to the city, here's what you will do. All Israel will take ropes and wrap it around the city and drag it into the valley. Nobody can stop you. Your power will be unmatched. And appealing to Absalom's vanity, it sounded like music to his ears. And Hushai gave his counsel and he left. And Absalom and the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai is better than the counsel of Absalom. Ahithophel had the better plan, but Hushai had the better speech. The Lord gave him the shrewd words to appeal to the sinful vanity of Absalom. And then we're told something quite remarkable in the second half of verse 14. It says, for the Lord had ordained to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel so that the Lord might bring harm upon Absalom. Ahithophel's plan was the right one. It was the good counsel. But the Lord had ordained to defeat it so that he might bring harm upon Absalom. Well, they made the decision, but Hushai doesn't seem to be aware of that decision. And so he proceeded to reveal these battle plans to David with the intrigue and suspense of a spy thriller. Hushai was sent to Jerusalem by David for the express purpose of finding out what the plans were and to let David know. And so Hushai got to work. He told the two priests, Zadok and Abiathar, and as they had coordinated, they told the message to a young servant girl who went and were to tell the priest's sons, Jonathan and Ahimaaz, the message. And these boys were waiting outside the city so they wouldn't come into the city and be spotted. But as it turned out, they were spotted regardless. And so these two young men, they fled to the town Bahurim, to the home of a man and a woman that were loyal to David. And the woman of the house took these two young men and she had them go down into the well to hide them. She covered over the well. She spread grain over the top of it so it looked like it had been undisturbed. And these two servants of Absalom came and they said, where are the two men, Jonathan and Ahimaaz? She said, oh, they went that way. And she sent them on a wild goose chase. And when they couldn't find those two men, They returned to Jerusalem. The men came up, and they came to David, and they delivered the message, and they said, these are the plans from Ahithophel, and these are the plans from Hushai. We don't know what they're going to do, but you cannot stay here. Arise, get up, flee, lest Absalom come upon you and defeat you. And so David made haste, and he and the people with him got up from trying to restore their energy there at the Jordan River. And through the night, they crossed over the Jordan River, and by daybreak, not a single one had not made it across. They were on the east side of the Jordan. And the chapter, but before we get there, we're then told about this sad end of Ahithophel. Turns out Ahithophel was just as vain as Absalom was. We've seen this vanity of Absalom in his outward appearance. Ahithophel was vain in his wisdom. He found his value, his purpose, his esteem, and his wise counsel. And when his counsel was not esteemed, even though he no doubt knew that it was the right counsel, and then when it proved to be false, because David and his men were nowhere to be found on this side of the Jordan, Ahithophel lost the will to live. He saddled his donkey, and he went to his home. He set his house in order, and he hanged himself. Ahithophel was an Old Testament Judas who betrayed his king, and he met the same disastrous end. But from there, what we have for the remainder of this chapter is a setting of the stage for what is to come, the battle between David and Absalom. Absalom began to initiate these battle plans. And following Hushai's advice, Absalom gathered all Israel, and they proceeded to the Jordan River, and they crossed over the Jordan River, and they went to the land of Gilead. And there they set up for the battle. David and his people had already crossed over the Jordan, and they had gone to the town on the east side called Machanaim. And there they were attended to by three very unlikely allies. Three names that aren't very familiar to us. But in digging in just a bit, this is a who's who of men who had received David's kingly kindness earlier in his reign. These are all men from the east side of the Jordan who had been benefited by David. The first that is listed is Shobi. There he is. Shobi, the son of Nahash. Shobi was the son of Nahash, the Ammonite king, who had died. And David said, well, I'm going to show kindness to his son. The son was the name Hanun. And that son dealt treacherously with David. He shamed David and his men, but David had showed kindness. Shobi was the other brother. Now Shobi wanted to repay the kindness. Machir, the son of Ammiel, was the man on the east side of the Jordan who had been the caretaker of Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. When David said, is there any son of Saul still alive? And he found out about Mephibosheth. He went and gathered Mephibosheth from Machir. Machir knew of David's kindness with Mephibosheth. And then there's this man, Barzillai, the Gileadite. Barzillai, we'll find out, is an 80-year-old wealthy man from Gilead. And Jabesh Gilead was the town back in 2 Samuel chapter 2 that David extended his covenantal kindness with. That was 30 years ago. This man would have been about 50 years old when he knew of David's new reign and the kindness of this king. And now these three men, all touched by David's kindness, in the moment of David's need, they provided this impressive abundance of provision. for David and his men. The Lord, through these men, through their kindness, was preparing David and the people for the battle that was to come. All that said, David was a king in exile. Mahanaim was the very town where Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, had been the king in exile. And we are left wondering, what will happen to David? What will be the outcome of this particular conflict? Will David meet the same dreadful end that Ishbosheth did, where two of his men killed the king? Or will Absalom get his wish and be able to drag the city into the valley and defeat all the people? Or will the Lord's will be done? The Lord who ordained to do harm to Absalom. The battle and its outcome will be yet to be determined and revealed in the next chapter. Now, back in chapter 15, when David was fleeing from Jerusalem and he first found out that his counselor Ahithophel had joined the conspiracy with Absalom, David had prayed to the Lord. He said, "Lord, please turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness." And here in chapter 17, all these events are fulfillment of that good, that prayer that was according to God's will. It was the Lord who permitted Hushai to appear to David at just the right time on the Mount of Olives. It was the Lord who permitted Hushai to make his way into Absalom's inner circle. It was the Lord who caused Absalom to reveal Ahithophel's plans to Hushai before Hushai got a chance to offer a plan of his own so that he could defeat those plans. It was the Lord who had given Hushai the shrewd words to appeal to Absalom's vanity. It was the Lord who had left the people to trust in the counsel of men like Ahithophel or Hushai rather than consulting the word of God. It was the Lord who allowed Absalom to be convinced by Hushai's plan. Hushai's plan gave David adequate time to escape because the plan called for amassing all the people from all Israel, which would take time and energy. It was the Lord who gave the woman the clever idea of hiding the two young men in the well. It was the Lord who gave David in his strength the energy to cross the Jordan in the dark of night. And the Lord who gave the abundant provisions through the kindness of these people. It was the Lord who left Ahithophel to the despair of his soul so that Absalom would have no more good counsel out of Ahithophel's mouth. And the Lord did this because he had ordained to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel that he might bring harm to Absalom. And beloved, such is also the case for our Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord had ordained to defeat his good counsel because he had ordained to bring his own son to harm for our salvation. The Lord Jesus, Ahithophel, his counsel was as if, it was esteemed as if it was on par with the Word of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He came to reveal the Word of God. He's the very Word of God incarnate. And yet his good counsel was defeated again and again. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. He was despised and rejected. He came speaking of repentance. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He proclaimed the gospel in himself, and yet he was rejected again and again. His good counsel was defeated because it was the will of the Lord to harm his one and only son. He actually, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the very Son of God and Lord of glory, he actively worked to defeat good counsel, which would save him. As he preached, as he healed, the people desired to make him king by force, but he refused their good counsel that he would become king. He spoke the word of truth, and his disciples came to him and offered good counsel. They said, "Teacher, don't you know that you're offending the Pharisees?" And yet he kept teaching. He kept offending. He said to his disciples, he said, Son of Man must go to Jerusalem. He will be handed over to the rulers, and he will be put to death. And his disciples said, "Surely not, Lord. Surely not. Let's keep your ministry going." And he said, "Get behind me, Satan. I must do the will of my Father." Or is the will of God to harm his Son? He actively provided the means for his defeat through his own betrayer. Knowing that Judas would betray him, he called him as his own disciple. Knowing that Judas had a thieving heart, he gave Judas control of the money bags. Knowing how Judas would react to a rebuke, Judas said, "Why is this woman spending all this expensive perfume? It's wasted. This money could have been sold and given to the poor." Jesus rebuked him and he said, "The poor you always have with you. You will not always have me. This woman is doing a beautiful thing." And even sending his betrayer to his betrayal, Jesus looked at him and he said, "What you are about to do, do quickly." Jesus, the very Son of God, defeated the good counsel of others in preserving his life. The Lord defeated the good counsel of Pilate's wife, who told Pilate, "Have nothing to do with this righteous man. I've had this dream about him." Defeated the good counsel of Pilate, as Pilate said to Jesus, "Do you not hear their accusations? Can you not answer? Don't you know that I have the power to set you free?" And when he said nothing, Pilate said to the crowd, "Well, do you want me to release to you Barabbas or Jesus?" And they said, "Release Barabbas." And he said, "Well, what do you want me to do with Jesus?" He said, "Crucify him." And he counseled them. He appealed. But what has he done wrong? What evil has he done? And he said, "Away with him. Crucify him." And beloved, even on the cross, in his moment of agony, as he hung there, he defeated the good counsel that would save him. The people said, "If you're the Son of God, save yourself. Come down from there." But he would not, for it was the will of the Lord to crush him, to defeat the wisdom of the wise for his good purposes. Beloved, this was ordained by God for our salvation. He endured harm for our good. It was ordained by God to defeat the wisdom of human wisdom in order to bring about the glory of the gospel. And beloved, such is the case also with our reception of this gospel. The Apostle Paul says, as we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, the gospel of Jesus Christ is foolishness to the natural man. It is foolishness to human wisdom. How could a holy God give his only eternal Son to save sinners, rebels against him? How could the very King of Kings and Creator of the universe take on human flesh, born into poverty in order to suffer and to die as a servant? How could God become man to give himself unto a shameful death on a cross? How could a perfect man taste death only to be raised again from the dead? And how could we become partakers of the reward of that work forgiveness and the promise of glory in his presence forever and ever simply by believing in this fact. Beloved, this is foolishness. Foolishness to the world. But this is the wisdom and the power of God. This is what it takes to receive salvation, beloved, is God must defeat our human wisdom and we must embrace the wisdom of God. Beloved, have you allowed the Spirit of God to defeat your wisdom and embrace and receive the wisdom of God? The foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. This is the wisdom and the power of God. The gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the wisdom and power of God. Beloved, I urge you to receive this gospel. Receive the true wisdom and salvation from God. But even as we receive it, that work of receiving God's wisdom must continue. We must continue to receive it. We are so steeped in our own wisdom, in our own understanding. We must be continually transformed by the Word of God and grow in His wisdom. We are those who esteem our own wisdom as if it is the very Word of God. And it is not. It is not. Human wisdom is foolishness. Even the wisest of wisdom is foolishness. Foolish compared to the foolishness of God. True wisdom, the true wisdom of God is found in the Word of God, is found in Christ himself and in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And having received the gift of God through the gospel, Jesus Christ has given us his own spirit of wisdom to continue to defeat our wisdom, to continue to bring harm to our sinful nature, that we might be alive unto Christ, that we might grow in wisdom and put into practice the true wisdom of God. Beloved, we must have our own wisdom and understanding defeated in every aspect of who we are, in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, in our workplace, in our homes, in our families, in our relationships, in the church. We must be transformed through the renewing of our mind so that we might test and approve what is the will of God. We are saved by the wisdom of God, and we are set free from the folly of our human wisdom so that we can walk in the wisdom of God by the Spirit of God to the glory of God. We just sang this praise of adoration to the Lord's wisdom from Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Beloved, the good news of the gospel is that in Jesus Christ, through faith in him, we have been given his mind. We have the mind of Christ so that we can walk in the true wisdom of Christ unto salvation. The Lord has ordained to defeat our wisdom that he might give us his ultimate good, salvation and glory with him forever and ever. Praise be to God, beloved. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your wisdom. We praise you for it. Please tear down the strongholds in our minds and in our hearts. Please, Spirit, reveal to us where we are clinging to our own wisdom and our own understanding and refusing your wisdom. Please, Lord, with the power of your Spirit, please defeat our wisdom and give us the wisdom of Christ. Give us knowledge, saving knowledge of Christ Jesus and joy in walking in his wisdom. Oh, Lord, please transform us. as you promised to do. Please help us to be faithful, to be diligent in your word, and to humble ourselves before it, that we might walk in this wisdom that is unto salvation, even the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.